setting things up, decorating like that if it weren't Swiss. So thank you all for coming out. They did ask. They said they're going to meet over there at 12:30 today to clean up and tear down. So if anybody feels led, put on your raincoat and dress warm and 12:30 down at Kotecki Park to help clean up. We are going to be in Ephesians chapter 3 today. As we continue our Advent celebration, our celebration of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, we turn to Him to tell us why He came. And He gives us many reasons and plenty to talk about. But today I want to talk about one specific reason, and that reason is joy. Complete joy. Fullness of joy. And to be very specific, it is being filled with the joy that is in Jesus. He says in John 15:11, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." That sounds pretty awesome. You think of the perfection of joy that he has had eternally with the Father. And he came so that that same joy would be in us. The birth of Jesus Christ was to bring the world joy. Great joy. That's what Christmas is all about. If you've ever read The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe by C.S. Lewis, the land of Narnia that they first enter into through the wardrobe is cold and snowy. And they say the land, it's bad. Right? The evil witch is ruling the land. And one of the reasons why it's so bad is because it's always winter and never Christmas. Always winter and never Christmas. There's no joy. Right? Christmas is about the great joy. That's what was announced. Good news of great joy that was brought about the birth of our Savior. It's about joy. In fact, my calling as your pastor is to help you realize the fullness of joy that comes to you in Jesus Christ. One chapter over, it might even be in the same page you are in, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 13, says, "He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." We're to keep filling up, to keep filling up until we're at a fullness. Fullness of joy. It's an extremely important part of Christianity, joy is. It's essential. It's commanded. Philippians 4:4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." Joy is also something that is produced in us through the Holy Spirit. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So we want the Holy Spirit to fill us up this Christmas season with more and more joy. Produce the fruit of joy in Jesus to the fullest. We want that to be one of our own goals, goals as a church, but goals personally this Advent season. Because that's what the birth of Jesus is supposed to produce, joy to the world. You see and you hear it in every Christmas song, even unbelievers. In every Christmas song and every movie and every commercial, they all agree that there's just supposed to be something about this time of year, something special that's going on that makes us want to bear that fruit of joy with one another. Expect it. It's there. It's a reminder of what's going on. Christmas is a time of joy, and it was meant to be that way. Our souls long to see it and to show it. Right? You know how the song goes. We need a little music. We need a little laughter. Need a little singing ringing through the rafter. Need a little snappy, happy ever after. We need a little Christmas now. And that Christmas need is Jesus Christ and the joy that comes with Jesus. That's our goal today. We want to see, we want to ask, if he wants us to have this fullness of joy in him, if that's what he came for, if that's what he says he's going to do for us, how then are we going to be filled with joy? Maybe Christmas is a hard time for you. We think about the things that we don't have. We think about the ones that we've lost. We may be on hard times. And so this is a time for all of us, whether we focused on the wrong things, whether it's a difficult time because of the difficulties going on in our life or season or a reminder of things that we've lost, whatever it is, it's a time for us all to come together and focus on our Lord and Savior and let that bring us joy. So the roadmap, how we're going to do that today, we're going to see how we're filled with the fullness of God, and then how in that fullness does it produce a fullness of joy in Jesus Christ. So Ephesians 3:14-19. Paul's praying a prayer. Right, and we love that he gives in his letters, he gives a good theology of who God is and what God has done, how salvation came about, how great God is, and then he applies that to us. He says, because this is who God is, because this is what he's done, then this is how you should live, right? He gets to this point in Ephesians chapter 3, and he's going to pray a prayer. He says, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So there's a lot to this prayer here, and we're certainly not going to cover it all, but we want to see the main point of it all. What is he praying? What's he praying for? If you look at it, it helps to break it down into sections to get to his point. We all know the main point, right, is in verse 19. The whole point that he's praying this is so that we'll be filled with the fullness of God. And we get to see Paul's heart to pray at the beginning. Not just for some, but for everyone. Verses 14 and 15. And so that means the meat of his prayer is in verses 16 to 18. And I think that's broken up into two parts. In verse 16, we're going to see that we are strengthened in our inner being. And not just strengthened by given strength, but according to the riches of his glory, which is immeasurable. The riches of his glory. So we're talking a lot of strength that he's praying for in our inner being, with the result of it, the so that, being in verse 17, is the result of the strength. And that is faith. faith to know of Christ dwelling in your hearts. These aren't mutually exclusive. The having of the strength and the having of the faith. We need to tap into the faith of Jesus in our hearts. And we need strength for that. We also need to know that Jesus is dwelling in our hearts. And we know that and we access that through faith. It's not a feeling. We can't always feel that that's there. We can't see that that's there. So to know that Christ is dwelling in our hearts, that he is in us, we need faith. But the prayer is for strength in our inner being through the Holy Spirit with the result of faith to access Jesus dwelling in our hearts. And the second prayer is for strength, that having that foundation of the love of Jesus dwelling in our hearts is to be able to comprehend what it means, that what the love of Jesus is. So we're praying for a prayer of strength, of faith, to know, to constantly know that he's there, that he resides in our hearts, in a prayer to know his love. Jesus is dwelling in our hearts. He's pouring his love into us. His love is overflowing from us. So Paul's praying two prayers, faith to believe it and strength to understand it and to know it. And the result, I believe, of answering these prayers for strength of faith and prayers to know his love, the breadth, the length, the height, the depth of his love, not just know of it, but to experientially know it, is that we are filled with the fullness of God. So we can pray that for ourselves, and we can pray that for others. We can't put Jesus in our hearts, or we don't allow Jesus into our hearts. He does that himself. He gives us a new heart. He inserts his supremacy into our hearts and then dwells there. Then we pray for knowledge to understand what that all means. How complex, how deep, how steadfast, and how free his love is. And the more we understand that in any season, but especially now in the Christmas season, the more we are filled with God, filled with his Spirit, filled with the fruit of the Spirit. So where does joy come in then? Luke chapter 2. Angel appearing to the shepherds. The angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." So Jesus' birth is good news of great joy. And then he brings us the gospel. He dies for our sins. And then he brings us his presence. He brings that joy personally to dwell within us for all who would believe in him. His joy in us, our joy full. So we want fullness of joy that comes from being filled with the fullness of Jesus. We must believe. We need strength to believe, and we need strength to know the height and the breadth and the depth of his love. So I want to talk about four ways of application that our Lord gives us now, every day, especially this Christmas, to be filled with fullness of joy in Jesus Christ. So first, we need saving faith, specifically the gospel faith. Not just any faith to believe something, but we need faith in the gospel. There's no fullness of joy without a foundation of joy. And that is that when we sing about, when we talk about this little baby, I love that song that we sang today, because he grows up. He lives a perfectly sinless, God-glorifying life. He teaches. And then he comes to fulfill his purpose and dies on the cross for our sins. And then faith is accessing what he came to die for. He came so that your sins would be forgiven. That his death on the cross was taken for you and for your sins, and his righteous life would be counted as if it were your righteous life. And we access that by faith. We don't access it by works. We can't grasp hold of that by being a good person. We can't grasp hold of that by any sort of religious ritual. We can't grasp hold of that by giving any amount of money. We can't grasp hold of that by any other way but by faith alone. So that's the gospel. We need faith. We need saving faith. So we can't start with joy. So we think about Christmas and we think about the things going on. And we think about people just coming to church. Unless there's a foundation of salvation, there's no real joy that can be had. We can't point people to a better life if they don't have Jesus as the foundation of their life. There's no amount of gifts that we can give or money that we can give to the poor that would surpass the gift of the knowledge of the gospel, understanding the gospel, faith and joy that comes through the gospel of Jesus Christ. So there's no foundation. We need a foundation of joy, and there's no foundation unless you believe. You must have faith in Jesus Christ. You want the reward of joy that comes through a relationship with our Savior, you have to have the foundation of joy. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So we need faith. We need a saving faith. We need strength to understand, to have that faith. But we need a living faith as well. The righteous aren't just saved by faith. They live by faith in Jesus Christ as well. Let me reread verse 16 and the beginning of 17. That according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. We live faith. We need strength to access that faith in Jesus. We go along living our lives and things come up and we want to rely on what we see. We want to rely on what the world tells us. We want to rely on our worldly experiences. We want to rely on money. We want to rely on our abilities. We want to rely on our jobs, all sorts of different things. And he's saying live by faith. And that's hard. Right? That's hard when it seems like at times that everything else is pointing the opposite. So we need strength. We need prayer for strength in our inner being to be able to live by faith. Romans 1:16 and 17 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. So pray. Pray for strength to live by faith. As much as we pray for God to grant faith to our unbelieving family members and friends and people we share the gospel, pray that they would live by faith. Pray that you would be able to live by faith, that you would have the strength, that we would recognize, and that these battles that are going on are spiritual battles in our lives. Fight for joy this Christmas by knowing that Jesus dwells within you, and then live in joy through faith by constantly reminding yourself that the joy of Christmas isn't something that just happened once, or something that happened a long time ago, or something that comes around once a year, but it dwells in you constantly. Every day is a time to celebrate the joy that we have in Jesus, like we get to do at Christmas time. These songs that we sing, that we all know, that we seem to sing just once a year, right? We can have that same kind of joy, that spirit of love, that spirit of kindness all year round, all the time, because Christ never leaves. He's always there. So we have to access that. Third, be filled with joy this Christmas by knowing the breadth and the length and the height in the depth of the love of Jesus Christ that surpasses understanding. You have to know his love. Study his love through his word. We preach about his love every week. Scott teaches about his love in Sunday school. You have your Bibles to open up and read about his love. We have so much access to learn about the love that he has for us. But we need to meditate on those things. Don't just receive them in here, hear them with your ears, but think about this. Yeah, how is, the Bible says it, this is how God shows his love. This is how God is loving us. This is how Christ loved us. Let me think about how that applies to me. As I go about my life and as I contemplate Jesus, how is this applying to me? So study his love. Meditate on all the ways he shows you his love. Pray and ask God to show you all the ways that he loves you. He does. It overflows. He loves you out of the riches of his glory. It's out there. Oftentimes we have to see it. We focus on ourselves, or we focus on the things that are going on in life or the problems that we may have. And it blinds us to see how God has loved us and how God is loving us. Oftentimes he loves us through each other, does he not? The love that we pour, the love that's in our hearts, we pour out to one another, so we experience and we get to feel God's love through each other showing love to us. Be compelled. Your Bible may say compelled or controlled, 2 Corinthians 5:14 and 15. But be compelled or controlled by your Savior's love. A joy-filled life, a joy-filled Christmas is a love-filled life and a love-filled Christmas. 2 Corinthians 5 says, for the love of Christ controls us or compels us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died, and he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. It's better. It's more joyful when your life is lived for Jesus and for others rather than yourselves. It is. He says it all the time, but yet we get in our cocoons where we see our life, we see the things going on, the cares, the worries of our life and of this world, the things that affect us, and we start to think about how others, and God included, should change their ways so that they can improve our situation. We start navel-gazing And so that all we can do is see ourselves, and we don't look up, and we can't see how glorious God is, and we don't look out, and we can't see the needs of others and how much other people need to be loved, because all of our focus is on ourselves. And what happens inevitably in all of us, no matter what that is that's causing it, whether it's a sin issue and it's causing us to only focus on our wants and desires, whether it's a sickness or an illness and we're fighting and we're in the middle of that battle, whatever it is, no matter what happens, anytime we're in that situation, it robs us of our joy. It robs us of our joy in the Lord. So he would have us look up to him. Let that love of Christ, the breadth, the length, the height, the depth, control us, compel us, so that we would live for him. And we would pour out love into others, knowing that he's going to then meet our needs. He's going to fill us with joy and meet our needs. Sin tells us that we must constantly be self-seeking and self-pleasing. But that way is joyless. Those things run out, don't they? You think of Christmas, of our joys and Christmas gifts. What happens? They wear out. The joy in them wears out. Can anybody remember what gift they got last year for Christmas? Maybe. Our joy in those things wear out. It works in such a way, we want to be filled with joy. So we want to be filled with the joy of Jesus. But when we're filling with other kinds of joys, once we get a little bit of them, it's never enough. Once we think we're making the kind of money that would make us happy, it doesn't take long before we feel like we need to make more money to make us happier. Once we fill our lives with things, those things soon become not enough. And that's a blessing for the Christian. That's a blessing to remind us that there is a source of joy that doesn't run out. So we want to have a truly joy-filled life, sacrificial life for others, with a faith that Jesus will fill your joy. Fourth, we want to prioritize a fullness of joy. Many times we can't be filled with the joy of Jesus because there's no room for his joy in us. And I talk about this all the time, so I will just hit this from a different angle today. Jesus describes this in the parable of the sower, that we are choked by the thorns of life. Our joy doesn't mature. Our joy becomes limited. In Luke 8:14, explaining the parable to his disciples, he says, "As for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature." Joy. Oftentimes, we take no joy in Jesus. We find no joy in Jesus, or our joy in Jesus is limited because we filled it up with so much stuff. We've taken the burden and the cares of the worries of this world instead of handing them over to him. We find more joy in the pleasures of life than are to be had in him. C.S. Lewis describes it like this, and you've heard this as well. If we consider the unblushing promises of reward and the staggering nature of the rewards promised in the Gospels, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea, we are far too easily pleased. What is it? What are the weeds of life? What are the thorns that you need to separate from that are robbing you from fullness of joy in Jesus? You think about a plant that wants to grow and it wants to flourish, but these thorns, these weeds are just holding it down, so it's a little bit there, but it's not really flourishing. What are the things in your life that need to be pulled? What are you settling? What are the tiny little earthly joys that you're happy to settle for the rest of your life that are robbing you from immeasurable joys in Jesus? Think about those this year. The angel brought the shepherds good news of great joy, but we often treat it as if it's interesting news of possible joy or of sometimes joy. But how about this year we change that, or we pray for strength in our inner being for God to change that? Pray for strength, for faith to know the joy of Christ dwelling in your hearts. That it's not just something you know, but you find joy in that. Pray for strength rooted in joy because of the love of Jesus, to know the breadth and the length and the height and depth, to know the deepness of the love of Christ that produces that joy in us. His joy is dwelling inside us. And let Christmas, this Advent time, be the time that we're not just filled with joy in him, but fullness of joy. May his joy be in us and our joy be full. Let's pray. Lord, we live in a world full of heartache and suffering, temptations and distractions. With great joy, you came into this world. With great love, you died for us. Out of the riches of your mercy, you saved us. Out of the riches of your glory, we pray, Lord, that you would strengthen us. Give us the faith to believe, to know, to be reminded, to rejoice that you are dwelling within us, that you are filling us with your joy, that it's there, Lord, for the taking. Give us the strength to know the height, the depth, the breadth, the width of your love. Help us, Lord. Help us to know the things in life that are choking out the joy that you have promised, the fullness of joy that we have access to because you saved us. Help us to be people of joy, not to get by, not to be miserable Christians, angry at the world, but to be full of joy, to be representatives of true joy this Christmas, but every day. Work that in us. Help us to rejoice. Help us to bring your joy to the world. We pray in your name. Amen.